Matthew chapter 6 and 7 today. We're looking today at the house that stands. We'll just take our reading from Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I love the different themes throughout Scripture,
pictures that are used throughout Scripture. And we have one here, the aspect of building. We can go back and think of some of the great building elements. You have Noah building the ark. You have Solomon building the temple. Nehemiah rebuilding the temple. And so we have these physical things, but then even the Old Testament takes up the picture to teach us, as you look into the Psalms, and we see that God is going to build up Zion. He's going to build his kingdom. And we see that applications there of building households. If the Lord builds the house. In Proverbs, you have wisdom is personified as building a house. And a wise woman is one who builds up her house and is not one that tears it down. And this is carried over even into the New Testament. And we have Jesus using this here as well as other places, the idea of building upon a rock or upon a foundation. You have it taken up also in the words of the epistles, as they were to encourage one another, they were to be building each other up in Christ. So we're looking at the concept of building our lives on Jesus Christ this morning. And so we want a number of cautions to us as we go through this concept of building our lives. We want to first be careful where you build. Be careful where you build. As we look at Matthew chapter 6 and 7, we have Jesus Christ setting forth some teachings that did a number of things. We need to understand that this whole context of the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount is not a means of salvation. But he is doing a couple of things here. He is demonstrating the hypocrisy of the Pharisees as well as the teaching and the following of the people at that time. That they were all about external behaviors, and Jesus is teaching them through these passages. It's not about the external behaviors, it's about what's going on in the heart. He's teaching them that there is no way possible that they can be holy enough to enter in to the kingdom of God. He's demonstrating to them in a way some of the things that are accomplished in the first few chapters of Romans. He's condemning all of them under sin, demonstrating that they cannot fully measure up to the holy standard of God, and that they need something else. He's demonstrating that he is the Messiah coming to give them that which they need. And he's telling them that they need to build their lives on him, on Jesus Christ. And he says his word. Now, he is demonstrating in our verses that those that would follow this teaching would be blessed. But you can't follow this teaching unless you have a relationship with God from the heart. And so we see that he is contrasting the self-righteousness of the Pharisees with true religion from the heart. We need to be careful where we build. He says to them, "Come unto me." Let's go to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." He's telling Peter that he is going to build his church upon a firm foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 9, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." So we see how it is the whole concept of building is being repeated throughout the scriptures here, but the emphasis of these verses I want us to catch is that Jesus Christ is the only foundation. You look at Matthew and you back up a few verses, and he's making a contrast. There is only two ways. There's only two trees. There's only two building foundations. There's not multiple things that are going to work. You need to know that you cannot be right with God. You cannot have righteousness. You cannot be holy unless you have built yourself upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who has come to earth to bring salvation to men. We're born sinners. We're born in rebellion. We think our way is right until we come up against the holy standard of God that shows us that that little white lie is a sin, and God cannot allow sin in his presence. That stealing is sin, even if it's that just stealing cookies out of the cookie jar is sin. Lying is sin. He's set the standard, and our hearts demonstrate that we cannot meet that standard, and we have not met that standard. From the time that we're the youngest, littlest toddlers, we find that we have a tendency to sin. We begin consciousness with things like stealing and lying and cheating and fighting and all kinds of little evils that are demonstrated from the time of our earliest remembrances. We are unholy before God, and we needed Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to come and die on the cross for our sins. If we call upon Him, He will save us from our sins, and we will be establishing our life then upon the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and His words, His teachings. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He says, "Come unto me." We see that the result here of not building is a great downfall. He shows us that the rain descends, the floods come, and the winds blow, and this happens to every house. That's living life in this world. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tested by the hardships and trials of life. The rains come down from above, the floods come up from below, the winds come from the side. That house is tested from every direction. The house that is standing upon Jesus Christ stands firm because it is upon a solid, unchanging rock, a mighty rock. But the house that is built on something other than Jesus Christ is built on sand. It amazes me to watch some of the news articles and things around hurricane season. It never fails. They'll show somewhere these resort houses built on stilts out on the sand. And the storm comes in and it washes that sand out and those houses collapse. And then they try to tell us the world's coming to an end. Does that make sense? You build a house on the sand and expect it to stand. And if it falls down, the whole world's coming to an end? That's just reasonable. If you build your house on an unstable foundation, don't expect it to stand. You build your house in dangerous circumstances and dangerous places, don't expect your house to endure. The foundation of a house is so very important. And most of the things that we build do not have eternal foundations. Some houses have really good foundations. The house I grew up in had a limestone block foundation. These stones were big chunks of stone. But they were mortared in place, and the mortar deteriorated, and those stones settled. You know what happens when the foundation settles? The whole house settled around it. The chimney didn't settle. The chimney and the house was built onto the chimney as well. And so the middle of the house was high and all the outside of the house was low. And you can put a marble on the floor and it would roll somewhere, but it wouldn't stay where it should be. The house didn't remain stable. If you don't have a good foundation, you get cracks in the drywall. You get doors that aren't going to shut smoothly or have to be adjusted from season to season. The foundation is so important. And if we are not going to build our lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ, who is ever the same, He's always going to be the same. He never changes. He is mighty. He is able to keep us. But if we build on something else, it is nothing but the temporary elements of this world. And so many people build their lives on relationships with other people. They build their lives on relationship to money. They build their lives on relationship to politics and government. They build their lives on so many other things and then wonder why life isn't working right. Why do we not have any peace? Why do we not have any comfort? Why do we not have any stability? Why are our relationships falling apart? Why this? Why that? It's because you have nothing that is stable, unchanging, eternal. You have no power keeping you where you ought to be. Build your life on Jesus Christ. Be careful where you build. Because great is the fall. It is total destruction. This is going beyond the physical. It takes us into eternal. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 18. We'll catch the story at verse 16. Jesus is speaking. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all of my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" When our total focus is upon earthly things, and we take no care for a relationship with Jesus Christ, one day we're going to be called to account. One day we're going to leave all of the efforts of our life, whether it is 20 years or 85 years or 95 years, one day all of our life's efforts are going to be left behind. Whatever we've built is going to be left behind and ultimately will be destroyed. Whatever money we've amassed and put into bank accounts and stock markets and annuities and whatever else, it's all going to be left in the bank and we're leaving it. Whatever ground we've purchased, whatever herds we've accumulated, it's all going to be left behind. It's going to demonstrate ultimately and totally where your foundation is. Because nothing in this life can give you a foundation for eternity. Only the words of Jesus Christ, only a relationship with Jesus Christ will give you a foundation for eternity. The rich man died and left behind his barns and all of his crops. Be careful where you build. Be careful of the cost of the build. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Salvation is free. It is total, complete salvation. But to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is costly. And so he gives us the illustration that if you're going to build a house, you got to make sure you have enough money on hand in order to get the project done. You know, that's something really difficult at this time. You start a project right now, you think it's going to cost you so much, and as the the days go by, the prices of lumber and prices of shingles and everything's changing, is going up and up and up. You get to the end of the project and you don't have enough money to finish it. You have to take these things into account when you're trying to build a house. Jesus says you need to take the same kind of thought. You need to give the same kind of mental effort as you look at being a follower of Jesus Christ. You need to count the cost. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to conform your life to His standard. You're going to humble yourself in lordship to Jesus Christ. He is going to have the full ability to govern your life and tell you what to do and where to go and what to say and when to say it. And you're going to really follow after Jesus Christ. It comes with a cost. We ought to be considering that cost. As you consider something that is expensive, we oftentimes go through a mental process. You go to buy something that is unusually expensive for your budget, a car or a house or whatever it is, something kind of pricey. You don't just run out and buy it. You oftentimes stop and really debate with yourself. Do I really need this? Is it going to produce a value in my life? Is it going to give something to me to make my life better? Is it worth the investment? When we consider Jesus Christ in that way, He is always worth the investment. Though we give up the opportunity of high-paying jobs or living close to family or whatever it is that we hold dear to our hearts, maybe it's some of our Christian liberties. Following after Christ is always worth the investment. Count the cost. Be careful of the cost of the build. Be careful because of what it is that you build. When I was working paint and drywall, I got the opportunity to work on a number of different kinds of places. And you knew when the job was important when the boss keeps showing up. We had a couple of different jobs. We worked on over $1 million house in Ankeny. That was impressive. I couldn't even imagine $1 million, but here this guy's building $1 million house. We worked on, I think it was the Ruan building, some of the fancy office buildings in Des Moines. You know, when they were doing that kind of work, they usually were sending me off to hang drywall in a $200,000 house, and then they'd bring me in at the very last minute to finish the job. No, it wasn't that important. You knew it was important when the boss showed up. It was a big, important job. What are we building? We need to realize that what we're building is important as well. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You are building the temple of the Spirit of God, your life. Let's go to chapter 6. In verse 19, Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not our own. You know, when you're working on your own projects, you can sometimes settle for something less than best. It gets to a point where it's good enough. But when you're working on somebody else's project, you can't do that. You have to do the very best that you can. You have to work it to the full completion of the job. You have to realize that what you're doing is important, not only to yourself, but it's important to others as well. And when we're building our lives on Jesus Christ, it's important to God. God cares how you build your life because He paid the price. He purchased the temple. He set forth the blueprints. And you get the privilege of doing some of the building in that temple. Build carefully, because it is important to God. Build carefully because it's important to others as well. None of us live to ourselves. We are all a part of Jesus Christ. We're a part of His church. And what each member of that body does has an impact upon other people. Your misbehavior, your not following the words of Jesus Christ, is a grief to people in the church. Be careful how you build, because what you're building is important. Number five, be careful of how you build. Be careful of how you build. We get down to the details here. First of all, be careful how you build concerning the diligence of the carpenter. The diligence of the carpenter. Let's look at Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Build yourselves up. There's personal responsibility. You are one of the key builders in your life. You have a duty to build. You need to show up. One of the greatest frustrations in the construction world is having individuals you cannot rely upon to show up to build. You put together a team that is supposed to hang drywall, and that team, you'd have one guy that takes measurements and haulers them down to the other guy. That guy cuts the board, and another guy oftentimes actually puts it on the wall. What happens when one of those guys doesn't show up? Well, it's a lot harder to hang drywall. We've got to show up. It's our job. We have to do those things which Jesus Christ is calling on us to do. We have to put effort into our Christian life. We have to put effort into making changes to the glory of God. Are you showing up as a construction worker in the life of building the temple of the body of Christ? The temple of the Holy Spirit? We need to be diligent. The blueprint has been handed to you. And when I was working construction, there was just only a few times that I had the privilege of getting in on reading the blueprints. The blueprints were handed to somebody important. They were handed to somebody who had the responsibility and the know-how of getting those things accomplished. The blueprint here has been handed to each and every one of us. We have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He's given us His Word to teach us and to direct us and to show us what the house, what the structure of our life is supposed to look like. And handed it to us with the idea that there is a responsibility that goes with it. You have to make the changes. You have to do the building. We see the diligence of the carpenter. We see also the caution of the carpenter. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify or build up. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Not all things in life build up. We need to be careful. We need to have caution as a carpenter to choose the best things, to have an awareness of the project at hand. One of my great embarrassments was when I was doing the drywall for Scott and Miriam's, Walter's house. And mudded the joints of the drywall. And then you tape them, then you mud them and mud them and mud them. But there was one place where I had mudded and then I didn't tape it. I just looked like it had already been taped. I wasn't careful, cautious enough. And so we got more mud on it, sanded it, textured it, painted it. They move in, and within a week, a crack appears right across the ceiling. I wasn't careful enough. So I'll come back and redo it. No. That's too much work and too much labor and too much effort for that little piece of crack in the ceiling. We're not going to worry about it. But I was embarrassed because I didn't give it my full attention. I didn't live up to the standard. I wasn't giving caution. Not everything helps our lives on to holiness. Not everything helps us to be like Jesus Christ. Not everything fulfills the purpose for which He has put us here. We need to have the discernment to know the difference. If we can drop down to verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. The carpenter needs to be careful of his diligence and caution, but he also has to be cautious about the quality of his materials. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So first we have to be careful of the construction materials. One of the frustrating things about building sometimes is it's out of your control. You try to choose the best materials, but sometimes you get a board that is warped in its nature. And when you buy it, it looks fine. You get this especially with green treated lumber. It's wet, it hasn't cured, it's straight. You put it in your project and you come back in a few weeks and that board has warped and twisted and even pulled loose of where it's supposed to be, and you cannot use it. You have to take it up, cut it up, burn it, throw it away, get rid of it. It's junk. It's useless. And there's a lot of things in our life that are eternally of no value. And though at the moment they looked pleasant, they looked profitable, and our flesh goes after those things, within a short time it reveals itself. I've been working on the parsonage, and the poor construction quality of the building reveals itself. They built a wall and had no support underneath of it. And then they go in, and what little support there was, they chopped it out so that they could put plumbing in and so forth. And you know, we now understand why when before the project ever began, we had cracks that would open up in the winter and close up in the summer and open up in the winter and close up in the summer. Even to the place that it broke drywall because of the carelessness and the misuse of the materials, it shows itself. As the verse tells us, it's going to be made known. It's going to be seen. It's tested here by fire. In Matthew, it was tested by the weather. But it's going to be tested, and it will reveal the quality of its work. If we go back to Matthew chapters 5 through 7, he tells them that blessed and wise is the man that does the words of Jesus. Well, what were the words of Jesus? If I can just kind of sum up some of the things in these three chapters. First, let's emphasize this aspect. He tells us to hear and do his word. In verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. James chapter 1, verse 22, we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. If we're hearers only, we are deceiving ourselves. To sit through a Sunday school lesson, to sit through a church service, to open our Bibles and do our devotions and only be hearers of the word and think that that is enough to make a difference in our life, we're deceiving ourselves. Just sitting under the voice of the word doesn't do it. We have to take up the word and do what we've been told. We have to do the words of Jesus. Chapter 5 starts off telling us about our humble, meek, and reverent hearts. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He moves on and he teaches them that repentance and obedience has to be from the heart. You can't just give lip service. You have to understand that this is a heart issue. Repentance and obedience is from the heart. Then we have self-sacrificing love for mankind. You get down to chapter 5, verse 38. Going the second mile. Loving your enemies. Being faithful in marriage. He teaches us also to be prayerfully dependent upon God. Chapter 6, we have the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Dependence upon God in prayer. Our daily needs. He ensures to them that they need to put off greed and selfishness and self-preservation and to rely dependently upon God for their daily needs. He cares for the flowers of the fields. He cares for the birds. And you're more important than they are. He tells us not to judge others. Chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. The Word of God gives us many quality construction materials. And there are construction materials that the world cannot afford. You understand what I mean? When you build a house, you work on a normal person's house, you buy the cheapest materials. You put in the normal fixtures. But if you're working on a millionaire's house, you buy the best materials. Nobody else can afford them. The world can't afford these materials. They won't purchase these materials. They won't follow after these principles. But as a Christian, we use the best materials in building our life. The teachings of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, set forth for us the blueprint, calls for certain materials to be used. Finally, be careful because of who you build with. Ephesians 4 and verse 16. We've so far talked about us being the builder. There's a responsibility. But we're not the only ones building. From whom the whole body, joint and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edification of itself in love. Now we're talking about the church here, but the principles remain. People have an important part in our life. People have an important aspect of construction in my life. I'm not a lone builder. I'm a part of a team of builders. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. Again, that word edify takes us back to the idea of building up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. And we can look at Hebrews 3:4, which says that God builds all things. God is building us. If we have placed ourselves on the foundation of Jesus Christ through salvation, we build ourselves, we build one another, and God is the master carpenter who is building us. We are to be reminded that we are to cultivate an awareness that God is present, though unseen. And we are to act to please this one who sees in secret. How are you building today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you placed upon the firm foundation? Or is the winds and tests of this life demonstrating that you're not on the firm foundation? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you are you building on Him? What do we need to build today? What do we need to work on today? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We pray that You might use this illustration in our hearts and lives, that we would take to heart, both for encouragement, because the day that we live in is difficult and The winds are blowing, the floods are rising, the rain is falling, and it's demonstrating what parts of our life are not built upon the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. But encouragement that we are on Christ, and ultimately, whatever happens in this world, we are His building. We're going to be taken to heaven for all of eternity. We thank You for that. But help us, Lord, that we might be conscientious builders, aware of our duty and our efforts to build our lives according to Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.